Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. And I am recording in my house today because it's very cold outside. And since there's not many birds outside to listen to for my background, I'm playing Distant Embers by Aitana Baya. Well, like I said, it's been cold. This week has been change and more change. Did anyone else notice the shift in our weather? Well, I guess it's time, if not a little later than normal. We'll be talking this week, in the second half of today's show, about transitions like this and other ones. But right now, here is our Desert Oracle Radio episode. This is the most recent one, produced by Ken Lane, January 11th, 2025, and it's titled, Hills Are Filled with Fire.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, but it's another wild and windy night, and these first strange days and nights of our new year. Because of everything happening, to our west. The power has been off for days up here, everybody hoping to avoid wildfires and these strong winds. I know that many of you are in and around Los Angeles and in and around places I know and love, where I have friends and family too. And this disaster is reaching a lot of them. This has been a generational disaster, and it will be a long time before the smoke clears. Too long for those who lost their homes. But the smoke will clear. At least some of the villains will be punished. Maybe some of the convoluted and corrupt systems will be made better. And we will add the Eaton Fire and the Palisades Fire to that long list of historical disasters that have been unleashed across California.
Desert Oracle Radio.
From the Great San Francisco earthquake to the collapse of the St. Francis Dam, the Watts riots to the Rodney King riots, Loma Prieta and Northridge, the Cedar Fire and the Camp Fire. When there was a time, now going on 20 years ago, when many of my friends were settling down in the charming land of Altadena, pressed hard against the San Gabriel Mountains and forest. For a little while, with my kids still babies, I'd considered the same. By then, I'd had enough of full-time city living and headed back to the desert, apparently for good. Most of the people I know up there have lost their homes or their businesses or suffered significant damage to one or the other or both. A disaster is always on the way in Southern California, and if you stay in the same place for long enough, eventually one comes to you, unfortunately. I knew fewer people in Pacific Palisades, a little outside of my income level. But oh, how I loved that picture-perfect California village of 1950s ranchers and leafy green streets tucked away between Will Rogers State Beach and the vast Santa Monica Mountains. Years ago, I worked on a stillborn Los Angeles newspaper with Richard Reardon, former two-term mayor of Los Angeles. And many of those planning sessions and editorial design advertising meetings took place at his rambling, low-slung compound in the Palisades. Dick Reardon had been the mayor during those 1992 riots and when the Northridge quake struck. And his response to those disasters, his leadership, as we used to say, is why he became so popular and why he was a shoo-in for governor of California. When the people turned on Gray Davis, the big money Democrat who used to run the California political machine along with Dianne Feinstein and, to a lesser extent, Barbara Boxer, but the actor Arnold Schwarzenegger decided to run for governor instead as a Republican. He announced it on the Jay Leno Tonight Show, which was the Joe Rogan podcast of its time, you could say. And that's why Reardon was reduced to working with penniless freelancers from East Hollywood like myself to make his newspaper on a budget, of course. Not quite a year ago, I spoke with my old friend Matt Welch about this time on this program. And besides Reardon's beautiful house, which, like Mel Gibson's house, not too far away, had its own Catholic chapel in the backyard, Dick also owned the beachside seafood restaurant and bar Gladstone's and his Palisades Village location of downtown LA's original Pantry Diner, which Reardon had bought years before, I believe in 1990. And he had the Oak Room next to the Palisades location of the Pantry, which had been Mort's Deli for 3 decades before that. We had our celebratory funeral for the Los Angeles Examiner at Gladstone's on the beach, which was the highest grossing restaurant in LA County for many years and probably still is. People went there for birthdays, graduations, whenever the relatives were in town and you needed a table for 8 or 10. The Santa Monica Mirror says Gladstone's is still standing, if damaged. The parish of St. Matthew, just next door, lost its clergy housing but has survived overall. Things change, sometimes very quickly. And that's why we have the phrase winds of change, very literal in this case. I remember thinking during those times when I was briefly welcomed into that world of the Palisades, how money doesn't change all that much in life once you've covered the essentials, but it sure seemed to keep that place preserved in amber. Most houses were exactly what you'd expect from the California of the 1950s or 60s. 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranchers built close to the sidewalk, white picket fences, rose gardens, kids on bicycles or carrying surfboards back from the beach, retired movie studio managers standing in their undershirts on the lawn with the hose, grumbling back a good morning when you went by. Ocean breeze and oak trees in the canyons above. But when the city leaves your reservoir empty for a year, as if the Santa Anas don't come around like they always do, well, that's either deliberate or so disastrously incompetent as to equal malice. When the brush and weeds aren't cleared, despite the endless millions and billions in taxpayer dollars supposedly spent on such routine maintenance, when there's a miles-long line of broken-down motorhomes and RVs on PCH with people that nobody will do anything about, and there are mentally ill people lighting fires in the dumpsters and wood piles and canyons and apartment courtyards, when the people in charge are angry at you for suffering, for being betrayed, well, there's a reason a 250,000 Californians pack up a moving van every year and head for more welcoming places. As the rebuilding of 10,000 homes drags out over the next 2 or 3 or 5 years, many more people will leave. Athens and Rome are in beautiful places too, lands blessed by God, and they were also burned and looted and destroyed and abandoned and sold out many times over the centuries after their great eras, their great moments in the sun. On the telephone with us tonight, we have Herbie Benham, a persistent mystery to those of us who live up here or come up here pretty often, was the guy trying to sell some kind of RV satellite dish. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I sure do. That guy was there at least 16 months in a row. He was usually on the corner of Pioneer Town Road and Yucca Trail, sort of right there behind Frontier. Like if you hang a left off of the 62 and you were headed up to Pappy's, he'd be right there on that corner. And it was a small satellite dish for sale. He was driving like an old 90s beat up Dodge, some kind of SUV, an older gentleman. And it just a sign that said satellite dish for sale. It was about maybe a foot and a half wide. And he was there, if not every week, several days a week for, I want to say almost 2 years. Sometimes he'd be over set up kind of behind the Circle K off of Old Woman Springs Highway there. But yeah, you remember seeing him, right?
Oh, yeah. I was just baffled because often you could not even see the person. It would just be the piece of junk sitting there. And then a cardboard sign and like an old carry-all kind of pre-SUV long station wagon pickup thing. And no sign of an actual person. I don't think I saw the actual person more than 2 or 3 times. Maybe he was in the shade on the side of the truck.
I think he was taking a nap in the driver's seat a lot of the time because he had one of those sun blockers on the windows, just kind of like a makeshift one. It looked like cardboard sometimes. I saw him back there napping several times, but just the persistence, you know, I really admire. I mean, if half of the activists these days had that kind of endurance, but he must have sold it.
Or died.
Or died, because I haven't seen him around. I guess we'll never really know.
This episode of Desert Oracle Radio was going to mostly be about some generally good news, but as the announcement of that news heralded the beginning of the catastrophe, well, it's still good news for the lovers of open space and desert wilderness. The outgoing presidential administration has designated 620,000 acres of harsh desert wilderness south and east of Joshua Tree National Park as the new Chuckwalla National Monument. This is the massive chunk of the Colorado Desert that starts at the Mecca Hills Wilderness just east of Coachella and Thermal, and runs roughly along and below I-10 nearly to the Colorado River. That's why the California desert south of the Mojave is called the Colorado Desert, because it's the section of the Sonoran Desert, the one in southern Arizona and northern Sonora State in Mexico, that's west of the Colorado River in southeast California. You got it? It's sort of confusing, which is why you rarely hear Colorado Desert when people are talking about the hot, dry, low desert east of Palm Springs. It could use a new name if we are renaming things. Maybe we'll just call it the Chuckwalla Desert. All this land is fairly difficult to access, pretty much without water, unless the aqueduct is leaking or a rare winter storm or summer monsoon is sending deadly blasts of water through the narrow rocky canyons. And is prone to regular earthquakes as much of it sits on or along the San Andreas Fault. The charismatic wildlife is no competition for Yellowstone or the Serengeti, although the pioneering desert biologist Dr. Edmund Yeager did discover his amazing hibernating bird, the common poorwill, within the winding narrow canyons of this landscape that's especially loved by geologists. Birds and lizards, descendants and cousins of the dinosaurs, are the wildlife highlights. There's nothing really to burn, so wildfires are rare. But it gets so hot in the 9-month-long summer that you can be burnt to a crisp by the sun, by the heat radiating out of that ancient geology. The land is already federal public land, too, something that's often lost in the discourse when different groups of people are talking about presidents using the Antiquities Act to create new national monuments. But the new Chuckwalla Monument has broad public and local government support, including from the tribal governments of the region, and at least in the wintertime could provide some tourism income for an area most people drive past as quickly as possible. As often happens with these monument and National Park Service boundaries, especially in the 21st century, a substantial chunk was cut out of the map proposed by the land conservation lobby to accommodate the industrial solar interest. So 40,000 acres alongside the interstate will be saved for massive outdoor electricity factories, all of which will be nothing but industrial waste in a generation or so. Then again, 620,000 acres of your federal public lands escape that fate. Who knows? This time around, the people fighting industrial solar corporate welfare, which is responsible for these monstrosities built atop destroyed desert wilderness, may have an unlikely ally, because the president-elect was the only one to mention the industrial solar farms over the desert during the entire 2024 presidential campaign. And apparently he doesn't like them any more than Basin and Range Watch or any of us desert long-termers and old-timers who don't believe in the destructive solar public land scam. Who knows? Not I. Either way, a protracted battle like the one over Bears Ears National Monument in southern Utah 8 years ago is unlikely with this choice. Because of the local and statewide support for new monuments in California, and the lack of substantial oil and mineral reserves in the area, Utah's government and the mining industry there were firmly against the Bears Ears designation from the start. And the mining interests are well represented by Utah's state and federal legislators. But I don't want to start sounding like a current events podcast with a couple of waterheads trading talking points about subjects they only know of through Vox.com or NPR's mouth-breathing morning summary of the New York Times. So let's finish up with a congratulations to the new Chuckwalla National Monument, named for NASA test pilot Charles Chuckwalla, whose remains are somewhere within the Mecca Hills wilderness, along with the secret test rocket he crashed there on July 4, 1976. The ribbon-cutting ceremony was canceled due to the dangerous winds forecast for that Tuesday and the week to follow. And so the visiting current president found himself stuck in L.A., the inferno all around. Soundscapes on this program by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Bad times, hard times, this is what people keep saying. But let us live well and time shall be good. We are the times. Such as we are, such are the times. That's supposedly a quote from St. Augustine's Sermons. You see it everywhere, priests are fond of it, and good luck finding the actual source. It's not in Sermon 80, in case you were wondering if the intelligent assistant on your phone was of any help. It's probably a pull quote summary of a longer section translated and retranslated so many times that nobody can find the Latin original anymore. Or maybe it's just another Lord of the Rings quote, misattributed to Martin Luther King, as usual in our Tower of Babel times. The sort of internet quotes that become ubiquitous are usually wrong, invented, with hardly any connection to the supposed author, the source material. There's one I regularly see attributed to Hunter S. Thompson that I recognize from 1980s local diners. Back then, it was just one of those mystery quotes a yellowed Xerox and a cheap and grease-smudged frame, maybe with a cartoon obese raccoon wearing a bib with the diner's logo, back when they were pushing those death by chocolate and trans fat desserts. It's moronic. Hunter Thompson did not leave behind a quote about eating too much dessert and showing up to heaven in a destroyed ghostly body, saying, "What a ride." Did not happen. Internet quotes are hard to disprove because it's much simpler to cite a reference for something that exists than to disprove St. Augustine ever preached a sermon called "So It Goes" or whatever. Did the Buddha know one weird trick for sexual health? Did St. Patrick really encourage protein maxing? You can probably go back to Patrick's few historically accepted surviving writings and find some rough Latin phrase that could theoretically refer to protein. He does write about milk and cows pretty often in those surviving texts. We are in the last days of ever being able to verify anything at all unless we are in the humidity-controlled archives with the documents themselves. Every week, physical libraries throw out more books, real books with pages and indexes and references and forewords by the Dean of Christ College or Winston Churchill, books that would last thousands of years if they're not burned for green energy, composted to meet the new garbage laws, or burned by the urban wildfires that took out a number of public, school, and private libraries just in this past week's infernos. The Getty Villa and its 44,000 treasures of the ancient world have, so far at least, survived the destruction all around it. From Amboy to Zyzix, broadcasting across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio with soundscapes by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Visit our website at desertoracle.com, and thanks to our supporters who keep this commercial-free radio broadcast alive, and they do it at patreon.com, Desert Oracle. Listen, if you don't have a go bag ready for these disasters, they really do hit everywhere eventually, I encourage you to put one together. Start with a firebox, a small water and fireproof safe. Keep all your passports and birth certificates and Bitcoin, whatever you need for that, and social security cards, and especially a current pocket-sized backup drive of all your precious stuff, family photos and videos, documents, etc. Put this in a duffel bag somewhere safe and easy to find, along with the usual kit of flashlight, first aid kit, emergency food, emergency blanket, a solar hand crank portable radio, some bottled water, a change of clothes for whoever's in the house, some phone chargers, etc. If you've got photo albums, keep those in the bookcase closest to your closet with the go bag and the portable firebox. Being able to put that stuff in the car when you've got to go, that's invaluable. And it buys you a little time to go back through the place and get extra stuff, too. More clothes, the laptops, pictures off the walls, pillows and blankets, because who knows where you're sleeping. And if you've got kids, get every DVD and computer game and all the relevant chargers and the books they're reading and cables and stuffed animals and your dog's toys, too. Your dog's toys and bed and treats. The dogs will appreciate that when they try to sleep in a strange and chaotic situation. For less than $100, you can order a fireproof box and basic emergency kit from the usual online retailers. Do it now and you will sleep better in the future. Learn from what so many people have just gone through. And remember, no object is worth your life. Keep an eye on your neighborhoods. Good night from the Voice of the Desert.
It's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGVM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio. This week, We remember Martin Luther King and others that continue to make a stand for diversity and human rights. Here are a couple songs in that spirit. First, we'll have the Freedom Singers with Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around, and we'll follow that up with Chris Kondo Ijima, Joanne Nobuko Miyamoto, and Charlie Chin singing We Are the Children from their album A Grain of Sand.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let segregation, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round. Turn me round, ain't gonna let segregation, Lordy, turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let no nervous Nelly, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nervous Nelly, Lordy, turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let Chief Pitcher, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let Chief Pitcher, Lordy, turn me round. Keep on a walking, Lordy, keep on a talking, Lordy, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let Mayor Kelly, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let Mayor Kelly, Lordy, turn me round. Keep on a walking, Lordy, keep on a talking, Lordy, marching up to freedom land. Let no Uncle Tom, my Lordy, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let no Uncle Tom, Lordy, turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let nobody, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nobody, Lordy, turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land.
We are the children of the migrant worker. Of the concentration camp, sons and daughters of the railroad builder, leave their stamp on America. We are the children of the Chinese waiter, born and raised in the laundry room. We are the offspring of the Japanese gardener, leave their stamp on America. War movies with the next door neighbor, secretly rooting for the other side. Sing a song for ourselves. What have we got to lose? Sing a song for ourselves. We got the right. cousins of the freedom fighter. Brothers and sisters all around the world, we are a part of the third world people who will leave their stamp on America. Who will leave their stamp on America? Who will leave our stamp on America? Who will leave our stamp on America? America.
If you listen to this show much, you know I believe in honoring the small things around us. Here are a few readings from Nature A Day at a Time by author, illustrator, and naturalist Kathy Katz. And see if you can spot the things going through transition for better and transition for worse, sometimes at the same time. The reading for January 19th has an illustration of an ant with some stalks growing out of it and some stuff that looks like, almost like it's making little sand piles on the ground and attached to the ant and the ground. I don't know. Anyway, you'll hear about that in a minute. So it opens with a quote by Dean Hammer in Living with Our Genes. And he says, predisposition is not predestination. Genes and neurotransmitters and hormones may tip the scales, but people are not robots programmed by genes. There is plenty of room for free will and conscience in how we behave and in how we judge the behavior of others. And then the reading for today begins with, the ant shown here ate the spores of a fungus which began to grow inside the animal's body. The fungus can affect a particular area of the nervous system of its host, compelling it to climb high on the plant where the fungus needs to be for its own survival. As the ant climbs, moving like a robot being commanded from within, the fungus absorbs the nutrients from the ant system, eventually killing the ant, but not before it has reached a spot on the plant where the fungus can manufacture and drop spores onto lower leaves. When the next ant to come along eats the spores, the cycle begins again. And then she closes this day's entry with a quote from Stuart Litvak and Wayne Senzar in Toward a New Brain. And they say, if we do not know where consciousness itself emerges, how can we know where life in reality begins? Who knows, therefore, how far into the primordial past a human trait has its precursors? And the reading for January 20th is about Earth stars. And I hope I'm saying the Latin right, Giastrum triplex. And it says, Earth stars are related to puffballs, woodland fungi made of round balls filled with spores. The smoke we see streaming from this common fungus is actually millions of spores. Earth stars have two layers of skin surrounding their bubble-like structure, one of which splits as the fungus grows, creating a star-shaped base. When outside forces, rain or falling twigs, land on the soft earth stars, an explosion resonates inside the ball, releasing a mushroom cloud of powdery spores into the air. Just a few raindrops can put enough pressure on an Earth star to create this volcanic eruption. And then she closes with a quote from Bernd Heinrich in The Trees in My Forest. And he writes, We have an irrational fungi phobia that costs us billions of dollars, and it robs us of riches and valuable time. It leads us to damage our health by using huge amounts of synthetic fungicides and pesticides. Apparently, we fear some fungi even more than the toxins that we use to kill them. This next writer lived some of his later years in or around Livingston, Montana. You might remember he wrote Legends of the Fall, but he was also a poet. Here is Jim Harrison reading his poem, Lesson from the Funeral of a Raven.
I've been translating the language with which creatures address God, including the non-harmonic bleats of dying sheep, the burpish fish, the tenor groan of the toad in the snake's mouth, the croak of the seagull flopping on the yellow line, misnamed mockingbird and catbird singing hundreds of borrowed songs, coyote's jealous yipe, coyote's joyous yipe when they bring down a fawn which honks like a bicycle horn for its helpless mother. The ladybug on the table was finally still. I strained my ear close to her during the final moments, but only heard Mozart from the other room. She was beyond reach. One night under a big moon, I heard the massive lunged scream of a horse pounding the pasture across the creek, then his breathing above the creek gurgle. This language is closer to what we spoke in Africa 70,000 years ago before we started writing things down, and now we can't seem to stop. I can't imagine how we thought that we're better than any of these other creatures, but that we wrote ourselves into it. Someone looked down from Babel's tower and got the wrong idea, ignoring the birds above him. I learned all of this one day listening to a raven funeral in a fir tree behind my cabin, and learned it again listening to a wolf howling from the river delta nearby. It's an old secret, past anyone's caring, or so it seems.
Well, that's a little different viewpoint on animals in transition. And isn't that what art's all about, is fresh viewpoints and having the courage to put it out there? Well, I hope to have some local writers on my shows coming up soon, so watch for that. Well, here are a couple local events coming up. Both of them are on Tuesday, January 21st, so it looks like you might have some choices to make. The first one is the Montana Native Plant Society presents a Zoom lecture on Tuesday, January 21st at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and it's the Remarkable Diversity of Monkey Flowers. Join University of Montana professor and genetics lab manager, Dr. Lila Fishman, for an in-depth peek at her renowned work with Mimulus species. I hope I said that right. Flowering plants are remarkably diverse. Dr. Fishman will share insights from 25 years of messing around with monkey flowers. Mimulus sensu lato. As models for understanding the evolutionary processes generating plant diversity. You can find the Zoom registration link by going to montananativeplants.org, and that is spelled MontanativePlants.org. You find the calendar tab, pull it down and go to January 21st, and there you'll see the link to register for the Zoom lecture. Again, this event is January 21st, 2025 at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. The 2025 Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration in Bozeman, Montana will include a performance by hip-hop artist Sean Booth at Montana State University. The event will take place on Tuesday, January 21st, 2025 at 6 p.m. in the Strand Union Buildings Ballroom A. There will be a 15-minute question and answer session at the end. It is free and open to the public. No tickets are required. Booth is also a TEDx speaker and creator of the acclaimed music project, The Unauthorized Biography Series, which features biographical rap songs celebrating cultural icons, including Dr. King, Barack Obama, Serena Williams, Jimi Hendrix, and Nelson Mandela, through documentary-style music videos. My thanks today to Ken Lane and Red, Blue, Black, Silver for sharing their work on Desert Oracle Radio. Thanks to Etana Baya, Kathy Katz, The Freedom Singers, Chris Kondo Ijima, Joanne Nobuko Miyamoto, Charlie Chin, and Jim Harrison, if he can hear me from the afterlife, for their contributions to inspire us all. And thanks to KGBM and its supporters. And thanks to you for listening. If you want to reach me, the number is 406-404-6246. You can hear this program live on the air at 95.9 FM Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgbm.org at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past shows are also available on demand on the kgvm.org website. I'll be back next week with more desert and mountain lore for you. Till then, stay well and sweet dreams. And my thanks right now to Elijah Edwards and Montbrechia. I hope I'm saying that right. Montbrechia for their songs, Unified and Oscillations, to take us out today. Be good to yourself this week.